to Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, the Prevention and Youth Services Coordinator at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often, young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships given to us, and a big place we see these examples is in the media we watch. That's why this show uses media like movies and TV shows to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media that we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. This month, Jazz and I wrap up our series on the After films with a discussion of After Everything, the final look into the relationship between Tessa and Harden and how they come together again. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579.
This is a little different than what it normally looks like when we do an episode because it's not as structured because we're both the hosts, so... It will just be us kind of recapping, I think, the series. We just finished up the After series. I watched movies 1 through 3 and then 5. I didn't watch 4, but I know we talked about it and you covered 4 with the last guest. But I thought it was really interesting that we got to have a conversation about these movies with so many different people. Like we talked to several high school students, we talked to a couple different professionals, a mom, we are moms, we are professionals, we are educators, we talked to another educator, we had an EMT on. So we got a lot of different points of view as far as these films go, which is really important because these films are so popular with young people and they can have a very profound impact on the people watching them in an, I think, a very negative way. Do you have any like initial thoughts?
Oh, I agree completely. These movies, they are very popular, and in the context of a movie, and like you're not looking at it in the perspective that we sometimes see TV shows and movies. I mean, they're great in that sense of a movie. They have like context and great main characters and all of this. But when you're looking at it in the eyes of domestic violence relationship, it is terrible. They are so bad and so toxic. This relationship between Tessa and Harden is such a cycle of manipulation and coercion and abuse. And he is just, he's obsessed and a stalker. And he uses his alcoholism as an excuse a lot of the time. And he also uses his mental health, like his anger issues, as an excuse because of how he acts. And it's all because he loves Tessa and only wants her. And this last film of the After series is something else.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what got to me the most when I was watching these is that I know myself and I know the kinds of movies that I used to watch when I was in high school or when I was younger. And I think of how I would have reacted to those movies if I had watched them when I was younger. And I would have eaten them up. Like, I know that I would have been all for their relationship. I would have been rooting for them. I would have really tried to sympathize with Harden and his childhood and his problems with his, you know, the dad issues. I would have probably justified a lot of his violence towards other men, and I would have really latched on to the alcoholism piece because I have lived experience with that, and I would have absolutely, I think, justified his behaviors because of his drinking, which, I mean, now you and I know drinking and substance abuse might exacerbate some of those abusive behaviors, but they're not the cause of them. So taking away the drinking or the substance use doesn't take away those really icky behaviors.
Absolutely. I also would in high school would have been like trying to find my own Harden type of character and like wanted, some guy to like beat up other people because he loved me so much, like, or supposedly loved me so much because I really in this last film, he depicts that he loves Tessa so much, but yet he's always with other women, always thinking about other women. And to me, that's not very loving, but
This fifth movie, especially with the ex-girlfriend, and everything that happened with her, Natalie, I was like in awe watching it. Like, oh, you can kind of get behind that somebody might have a really hard upbringing, have a really hard time with their parents. And now they have to navigate that. But I think this whole extra piece that we didn't know about with this Natalie woman, where he did the exact same thing pretty much to her that he has done to Tessa, it really just shows that the behavior doesn't change just because the relationship changes. And that belief system is really the key piece to Harden's behavior. He just has this belief that he has a right to treat women like nothing or to make bets with his friends based on what he needs in that moment or how he's feeling without any regard to how that might affect them, especially in the future. I mean, especially the piece where, I mean, he filmed them having sex with her permission, but he did not have permission to share that with his friends, which he then does. And we find out that it basically destroys her entire future. She ends up, not being able to focus and get into the school she wants. She loses her support system. All of her peers are seeing this part of her life, and it's incredibly embarrassing, so much so that she has to flee to another country to escape it and try to start over. And then Harden follows her there when he finds out she's there to quote unquote make amends, but it's very confusing for her, and she's not excited to see him. She asks him to leave pretty much immediately. And then we see them like form this friendship where he's trying to make those amends, but that's not realistic, in my opinion. I mean, that's insane to follow somebody to another country to try to make amends. Like, if you need to work on yourself, then work on yourself. But I mean, let her go. And he like buys her the house of her dreams and writes their story in like kind of an apology and asks her permission to get it published. And so we're seeing those changes that he's making, but they're unrealistic. Like, most people aren't going to change their behavior with a montage of writing and publishing the truth for the world to see and buying houses to support that person's dreams. Like, that's not a realistic change that people are making. So I really worry that young people who see that might justify holding on to somebody and the behaviors they're experiencing in hopes that this kind of drastic change can happen like that.
Yeah, I was very concerned with the fact that the relationship between Tessa and Harden was exactly the way it was with Natalie. And that idea of they were building a friendship and then they had sex and then he posted it, or he didn't post it, he sent it to a friend that then posted it. But that idea that the male in the situation never got, his life destroyed. Hardin never was like embarrassed or anything. He was actually proud, and all of his guy friends were proud of him for doing that when she was shamed for having sex and being filmed. Like, to me, there was such victim blaming going on in that scenario. And even 5 years later, still is happening because she's had to leave and go to another country. But the fact that his mother also encouraged him to go after her and find her, that really confused me because, like, she's been 5 years without him. She's gonna be okay with not seeing him ever again. And the apology thing was also very weird to me. Like, she's already had her life destroyed because of him. How is him writing this book going to make anything better for her? I mean, it will tell the truth in a way, yes, but who needs to know that other than her and him? Because she's started fresh, she's rebuilding, she's doing so good at this little boutique where she w lives now and has her own like company and everything. And I get the whole like he's trying to make up for his actions, and we see him become sober in the last bit, sort of. I say sort of because we see another cycle of that, and he tries to make that amends. But when he buys this house, he's really kind of pushing aside what he did and just trying to be like an excuse. Like, he's trying to like overshadow what he did. A lot of the times, survivors, I depict her as a survivor because she's had to redo her life in so many different ways. But she also fell in love with him like very quickly because it was her first love too, just like Tessa. Hardin was her first love. So he really is this like charming, you know, very like charismatic character, and all the women fall for him. And like he just uses that to his advantage and takes advantage of the women in his life, really.
And as a sexual assault survivor myself, I don't know, watching that really made me very angry. The almost instantaneous forgiveness that was portrayed, and just allowing him back right back in. And I think that happens to a lot of survivors who they really just want to give that person the benefit of the doubt so badly, and they've been made to believe that like they have changed. And we see those grand gestures and the love bombing kind of things, and those things are very effective tactics. When you are dealing with this kind of behavior, abusers will use those tactics very often. And where supposedly in this movie, Hardin has truly changed his ways, supposedly. And so those grand gestures maybe are real. In real life, a lot of times when we are seeing those grand gestures, maybe they aren't quite as big as buying someone a house or writing a novel about it. But we do see those really grand gestures, and they're not genuine. And so I think that it can be really harmful for young people who don't have that kind of experience to see that and kind of hope for those things, or not be able to maybe recognize when those things are happening. Because it's really confusing. And honestly, that's not going to be the reaction or the feeling of an apology that you might get from an abuser who, I mean, I'm just talking personally, but if my abuser were to just show up suddenly, I would be terrified. I would probably have a panic attack. There would be no, like, okay, I've thought about it, let's have drinks. And I just don't think that's realistic.
And you could see the fear in her eyes, though, when he stepped in to the boutique in that first scene when he gets off the plane and goes right there to see her. She was then very uncomfortable, and she did ask him to leave. But then, like, right after that scene, they text each other, and then she goes and sees him at the bar. And it's just that, again, that idea that abusers have such a hold on survivors and this cycling. And what you had said about grand gestures made me think of, like, these grand gestures in reality oftentimes have stipulations later on. I'm going to accept this grand gesture. I'm going to accept this house, but we don't know what happened after she got this house, or, you know. And in real life, like, if someone was to give you a car, okay, the car's in their name. They're going to take that car away if you break up ever again, or if they did buy you a house, or you bought a house together, they're going to take that house away from you. Like, we experience that with the survivors we work with every day. We hear these things like, oh, well, they're going to give me the house if I drop this protection order. So he's just trying to control the situation more and more. even though you're not together. And that's what Harden does. He's still controlling situations even when he's not in relationship with Natalie, with Tessa, with anyone. And to me, that's just, it does show how much of a hold he can have over Tessa.
If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and today, Jazz and I are wrapping up our series on the After Films with After Everything.
Back to their relationship. It is so crazy to me that she did not freak out at the wedding when she finally saw him, because I would have. It's been like a couple of years finally after he left her alone, like truly left her alone, but yet still stalking her on social media, still has pictures of them everywhere, still has pictures on his laptop, which to me is so creepy. I don't have pictures of my ex hanging around anywhere. Anywhere. To me, that's not moving forward like he says he's been, or working on himself like he says he's been. And we also see that he's still being physically violent, but I guess he's doing it in a way like he's boxing and stuff, which I guess can be a positive outlet and for some people, but I still think he's going about that in the wrong way.
I think the violent aspect is something that, again, we only see him be physically violent with men, but it's still really terrifying to actually see somebody do that. And it's not something that ever changes or ever gets like brought up in the movies. It's not ever something that anybody feels Harden needs to like work on. In real life, you can't just go around punching every guy that makes you mad. That's just not reality. You would be in jail. As far as Harden and Tessa go, yeah, the pictures really, that was something that threw me for a loop as well and came off to me as creepy. And it's supposed to be, I think, portrayed as him like pining, for his lost love. And he says repeatedly that he just can't move on. He will not move on. And that there is no world or future for him without her, which is really concerning, compacted with the photos everywhere. I mean, everywhere. His laptop, his apartment, his phone, and he is stalking her social media. And it's just like, need to develop some healthier coping mechanisms. And if you really are caring about Tessa and you really are trying to work on yourself and move on and let her move on, you need to do those things. And sitting around your apartment drinking while looking at her photos on her social media is not a way to do that. And then I felt the resolution at the end of the movie was just kind of like, okay, cool, it's fine now. It was just, oh, we're seeing each other at an event, and now we're gonna get married after 2 years, supposedly, of us trying to move on. And then it just ends. Like, they're married, they have children. He is a very successful author, which also is pretty icky to me because he used the story of his past with Natalie to further his career. Yes, he got her permission, but that's still what he's doing with it. But it's just like, okay, it's a happy ending. But then, we've seen 5 whole entire movies of him repeating this behavior, and now we're just expected to believe that it's changed when we haven't actually seen him do anything to make those changes. We're just kind of told that that's what happens, or left to assume that that's what happens. And in reality, I'm the last person who's going to say that people can't change. They can, but it's a change in that belief system that needs to happen. It's not, oh, suddenly, I'm not going to be violent anymore, and suddenly I'm not going to be jealous and controlling anymore. That isn't realistic. Those changes need to happen with a start in that change of belief system, and we didn't see that here.
No, there's a lot of missing pieces throughout the movie. There was a scene like he was on the social media and stuff, and he sees Tessa with another guy. And that idea that it's okay for him to be with other women throughout this like 2 years they're not together, but yet he sees a picture of her with another man and it's the end of the world and she's a horrible person. And it's like Just leave her alone. Leave her alone. Let her live her life. And then we find out later on that this other guy is like a brother to her, and she's actually trying to help him get with another person. But to me, it was like feelings of like maybe she didn't want to get with another person because she was scared of how he would react. Because he has done that to her in the past, even if she was just talking to another dude. Or even like her relationship with his stepbrother, Landon. He was always mad that they would be together or talking and that he moved her to New York, but he was really supporting her. And he didn't like when she had other male figures in her life either. Him just absolutely being so angry at other men is to me kind of challenging, like to get my head around, just because he is like trying to portray this masculinity that is so toxic. And I don't know if it's because of the childhood that we saw, or again, not an excuse for his behavior though. We can definitely see that it can contribute to those behaviors and can help escalate those behaviors, but he is just using it as an excuse throughout all of the movies. And then the whole writing the last book and then somehow becoming famous again, and she and having Natalie be okay with it. It still doesn't feel right to me. I still feel like she might have had some other feelings there too that we didn't see. It just feels icky to me. And I just, if I had been her, I would have called the police, like get him out of here. And he gets into an altercation with one of the guys that's on the island that knows Natalie, and he gets physically assaulted pretty bad, and that might have been his turning point. And then his biological dad comes to get him out of jail. And the dad has a conversation with him. But again, it's like he's not allowed to feel feelings. Like, again, this toxic masculinity. It's just crazy.
I did think that his bio dad's conversation with him was the most important thing that somebody like has said in any of the movies to Hardin, to be like, what are you doing? Like, you can, at one point he says, you can hold space in your heart for Tessa, but you can still live your life and you can still go on and, you know, love again and find love again. And then Hardin goes ahead and doesn't do any of that, doesn't follow any of that advice. But I think it is a really important point. The parents in this movie do not do a great job of steering their children in a healthy direction. Hardin's mom specifically is always like, yeah, just go get her, just go get her. Like, I'm a mom, you're a mom. And I really hope that I would try to steer my kiddo in a different direction. Like, hey, why don't you just leave her alone? Like, you messed up and she has told you she's not interested. So, I mean, it sucks that you're hurting, and I'm sorry that you're hurting, and I'm here to support you, but you should leave people alone who ask to be left alone. And these films as a whole, for younger people watching who don't have that knowledge to know that these things are really scary, some of these things that are happening, or they're very serious, and the consequences of these things in reality could be detrimental to not only themselves, but their relationships with other people. So I think having a conversation about these films was a really important thing for us to focus on. I didn't read the books, and the author definitely knows how to tell a story.
Yeah, they set a very unrealistic tone for like love. It's like this love conquers all type of theme, and it's like if you love someone, you're not yelling at them all the time. You're not stalking them. You're not, portraying all of these things that are so negative, but yet are displayed in this series as loving and caring.
And I know we talk a lot with survivors about their support systems, and we see where they are, you know, stuck in cycles where these things are happening. Those supports drop off drastically, and are sometimes reduced to nothing. So I do think that these movies don't show a very realistic representation of that either. Tessa does seem to have, at least with friends, she seems to have a pretty good support system throughout. But I think that oftentimes we see where friends are kind of going by the wayside because they're being so isolated by this person because of their behavior, and whether that's direct or not. But a lot of times survivors will be, you know, a little bit ashamed because they don't want friends to see the things that are happening. And so maybe that support system goes by the wayside because of that. So I do think that's important to keep in mind when watching TV shows and movies where these things are happening is, and we hear it over and over again with our guests that these aren't realistic things. Some of the behaviors are definitely things that happen. That's why we're talking about them. But a lot of the times, the resolutions or lack thereof that we see in the media, it can be very detrimental because I think that oftentimes somebody might hold on to somebody who is harming them because they are expecting a change that is never maybe going to come, or they're holding on to those good memories. You know, in these films, we see lots of flashbacks to the happy moments, you know, over and over again. And it's very easy to hold on to those things because we want them. And we kind of know how that person can be and can treat us. And so we're hoping for that change to come where we only have those happy things, or those happy things are the majority. And it's just not the case in so many situations.
Yeah, the expectations and of like the endings in all of these films were very, very hard and unrealistic. The resolutions aren't great, and we don't actually see the work that actually happened in the really if there was any work that actually happened. We also know that it does take survivors a long time to get out of relationships, especially if they've been in this relationship for a long time. And where Tessa and Hardin were so young when they got into this relationship, and where Tessa, this was her first love, it really does change like how she thinks and really sets her up in a way that she hasn't experienced any other relationships in her life. So what else does she have to look for? She doesn't really know herself. And I wish there could have been a different way, like maybe they could have resolved and stayed friends or something, or just been civil. Like, that could have been a good ending.
I'd like to thank Jazz and all of our guests over the past few months who have joined us in breaking down the behavior in the After series of films based on the books by Anna Todd. We are happy to have a variety of insights on such a popular series for young people and the impacts they may have on those watching. You have been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at weru.org or on the WERU smartphone app. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Music. If you are a young person in Maine who is interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at cclark@nextstepdvproject.org. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579.